Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's edition of On the Trail is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or check them out online at heartlandflags.com. They have the flag for almost every occasion. Adam Gray, get off your phone.
Sorry.
We're talking about Heartland Flags.
Hey, I love Heartland Flags. You know this. When I get a text message from someone important, though, you got to read it.
Was it a text message about buying a flag?
It was not. I bought many flags from Heartland Flags. Always great service, great quality, and got them up. Actually, you know where I'll have the Cyclone Fanatic flag flying here soon is at the recruiting party at Thunderhead, February 9th. So I'll have the flag that Heartland Flags made up for us flying high right there in front for people so they know where to stop by.
There you go.
Meet our special guests.
So there's been a lot of recruiting news since the last time we sat here and did the On the Trail podcast.
You
picked the worst time for recruiting to go on a vacation.
Yeah, it was pretty selfish of me, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was incredibly selfish.
Yeah, I apologize for that. But, you know, when you can get away with the family and the kids, you take a...
You should stop clicking that pen.
Take the opportunities. And so we did. We went and we had a good time. But, yeah, I mean, who's committed? I think they committed. Three guys committed? Two or three guys when I was gone?
Yeah, there's three commitments in 3 days.
I went like full Chris Williams. He goes out of town. Usually it happens. The only difference is we'll be able to, when I come back, we're not going to lose these guys.
No, now you know that the fact that you came back just makes you a bad fan. You're a bad fan.
No, we'll see. If these kids stay committed, I'm not a bad fan. When Williams comes back, Caleb Chandler commits when he's gone. He comes back, Caleb Chandler decommits and goes somewhere else. So
he's going to Louisville. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that. That one still stings a little bit, man. I don't know if I want to talk about it. But, who all committed when I was gone? Let's just do a quick rundown of that.
Well, there was...
Tucker Robertson.
Tucker Robertson, O.J. Tucker.
So we got two Tucks.
And and David Dawson, the offensive lineman.
Dude, and I'm telling you what, I know he was a backup at Michigan, so everyone, you know, I guess tempered the expectations a little bit, but Iowa State still is going from an offensive line where they had two walk-ons playing last year.
Yeah.
Guys that weren't ready to play, maybe as redshirt freshmen, to getting a grad transfer, a grown man to play on the offensive line from Michigan, too. You know what I mean? So let's be honest. The guy's backup at Michigan, he's going to be starting for Iowa State. Unless, I'd be shocked.
I would agree. And I think that was kind of the thing that kept him from really seeing the field is that Jim Harbaugh his recruiting classes were too good.
And you know what?
That's an okay problem to have.
That's okay problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with, you know, at some point, hopefully, we're not to the point where we need to get grad transfer offensive linemen because we built up. Unfortunately, we are at a spot where we do need them. Mm-hmm. We've hit on it many times. Paul Rhodes' classes, he missed on offensive linemen for about a 2 to 3 year period. So these guys that should be redshirt juniors and seniors going in next year, they're not good enough to play. Or they're gone, unfortunately. So this was huge for Iowa State.
I would think that Iowa State would be a very attractive place for someone that's like that, like a grad transfer, you know? Like being kind of a program that's on the rise and you're still going to play Power 5, you're likely going to be able to get a lot of playing time. And if you come in and play really well, you're going to be celebrated.
Yeah.
You know?
And they can point out right now, hey, look at Everett Edwards. Came from Duke.
Yeah.
He played a lot for Iowa State. Look at Jacob Park. Now, Jacob Park didn't necessarily come from another program, but guys that came in as transfers played for Iowa State. Bobek, Minnesota, started. So they can sell it to these guys. We've had people come in this last year, and they played. They had success. And we're planning on plugging you guys in and doing the same thing. So I love it. I mean, I look at this with who Iowa State's coming back next year. Iowa State's got one more offensive lineman I think they're going after in the grad transfer, Khalil Rogers, who was here last week from USC. They get him especially. Even if they don't get him, I feel strongly making this prediction. But with him, I feel even better about it. Next year will be the best offense Iowa State has had in my lifetime.
In your lifetime?
In my lifetime.
Back this up.
Back it up. Okay. Well, first off, here's some stats I don't think people realize. Because Iowa State won three games last year.
Uh-huh.
Not a great year in the win column. Offensively, though, we scored 39 touchdowns. You know the last time we scored 39 offensive touchdowns? 2005. 11 years.
Yeah.
New coaching staff, offensive line in shambles. Quarterback coming in who hadn't really essentially played since high school with Lanning. You know, they kind of took over. Still, 39 touchdowns. Over 5,000 yards of offense. You got to go back to Steele Jancy's in 2011 from where Iowa State had 5,000 yards of offense. And this last year is actually better. This was the best offensive season last year since 2002, Seneca's year, where they had 5,300 yards and 46 touchdowns. So next year, Iowa State's got to have 300 more yards and 7 more touchdowns to be a better offense than the best offense of my lifetime, which I think, someone could tell me if I'm wrong here, since 1985, I'm guessing the best offense was Seneca's in 2002. Maybe Sage Rosenfels. So I think they will do it.
And oh, by the way, like 85% of those touchdowns and those yards returned.
Yes, they were. Yeah. And I think one thing to point out too with Seneca's year, they played 14 games that year. So those stats are skewed a little bit as well.
Yeah.
That was back when teams could play 13 plus you played the bowl game. Iowa State next year, they're going to play 13 because they're going to go bowling. I'll just say it. I think they're going to go bowling. And they're going to break all the records in my lifetime that we've seen on offense. They're going to score 50 touchdowns. I think he can throw one more touchdown a game on the board. They're going to get more yards. Jacob Park's going to be a stud. And we're going to see – I don't know how we're going to do on defense. We'll see. But offensively, we're going to be very good.
Adam's all in.
I'm all in, buddy. I'm all in. Now, I trust a guy like David Dawson based on what we saw from Tom Manning. And if Khalil Rogers comes, I trust them to be implemented and play right away well. Better than I trust so far these JUCO. I think the JUCO linemen are going to be – they're a must. We had to get them. But you don't know how they're going to be the first 6 games.
Think about this. If they get both those guys.
Yeah.
Jake Campos comes back and is healthy.
And he'll be their best offensive lineman. Jake Campos will be.
If Sean Foster could play some kind of role.
Yep.
All 4 of those guys were rated as 4 stars by at least one recruiting service.
I can't imagine that's ever happened.
I keep saying. Has that ever happened for an Iowa State offensive line where they had 4 4-star offensive linemen?
And then you get a quarterback who was a 4-star top 5-10 guy in the country coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Lazard, 4-star wide receiver. Chase Allen, I don't know if he was a 4-star tight end, but he mean offered by Florida State and Michigan. Mm-hmm. The talent level is there. Now, whether or not they haven't had the accolades in college yet, right? But at least we're starting with the talent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always equal results. I'm just saying, we saw them put up those numbers, 5,000 yards, 39 touchdowns, with, like I said, an offensive line where they were scratching together. I mean, I didn't even know Brian Shado was on the team, and all of a sudden he was starting one game. Never even heard of the guy.
He started more than one.
I know, but when he started,
yeah.
And I saw him in there, I go, who the hell is Brian Shado? This is no disrespect to the kid at all. I mean, he did a great job for what he had to offer, but you come back now and you bring an offensive line. I don't think it's going to be a great offensive line. I think it's going to be a good, okay, maybe above average offensive line. But based on that, with what the staff did last year, I don't see how it's not the best offense. I just don't.
There you go. Adam's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Am I crazy? Tell me how I'm wrong.
No, you're not crazy. I didn't expect you to come. I didn't expect you to come with this.
You know,
usually you're the pessimist.
You know, you go on vacation, right? You get a little sunshine. You get those rays on.
You
come back with a smile on your face.
You were sitting by the pool with your little notepad. And you're
drinking
just like,
my pina coladas.
And you just all of a sudden you had a thought and you're like, this is the best offense Iowa State's ever had.
You know, actually, I did it last night. I started thinking about it. I go, I just want to see what our offensive numbers were last year compared. And I could only go back to 2002 because that's all Cyclones.com went back to as far as the numbers. Second best year offensively.
Look at the record book.
Yeah, I'll let
the encyclopedia, the PDF.
Bloom or Kirk Holland or one of those guys can do more research on that. I did as much as I care to do. Let's just put it that way. If these guys want to delve a little bit more deeper into it, they absolutely can. I'm sure there's some sort of analytics that probably break it down a little differently than what I used to.
I like how you use quotes.
For
air
analytics,
quotes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Time of possession, play. I understand that the games, we probably had more possessions than we did in 2004. I understand that. I'm just saying, numbers-wise, it's going to be the best offense Iowa State has ever seen in my lifetime. I don't 70s, 78, they might have had a better offense. But for years, man, we've struggled to score points.
With I respect Paul Rhodes, that you've thrown the gauntlet down like this.
Yeah, with Paul Rhodes, the number was if Iowa State could hold opponents under 24, they won games. But that's hard in the Big 12, right? You got to score. And I think this team can score. And then it just remains to be seen if they can stop anybody. But they're going
to. I bet they'll be able to stop some people.
Big 12 will be very good next year. Texas will be better. But I feel confident. I think Iowa State's going bowling next year.
I'm with you. I think they're going to go bowling. I don't know if we're going to look back at it and say it's the best offense Iowa State's ever had.
In my lifetime.
In your lifetime.
Just thought about, dude,
well, and if it's in your lifetime, it's in my lifetime too,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, but dude, they've had horrible offenses. I'm not like saying – I mean, this isn't like me saying this is going to be the best Iowa State basketball team we've ever seen when they've had Elite Eight teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking about a program who traditionally has been awful on the offensive side of the ball. Terrible. I mean – where we, I mean, I've, what have, you follow me on Twitter, which I think a lot of times you probably wish you unfollowed me on Twitter. But during the game, what is my favorite hashtag to use?
Punter you.
Punter you, baby. We punt the ball all the damn time. We punt the ball 10 times a game. We're not a traditionally strong offensive team. So for me to say this, it's not like I'm making
some crazy prediction.
I believe you. Okay. You got me all fired up.
You're fired up, way too fired up. Like I got you talking about Trump or something.
No, shit. No, I mean, stop. Don't even go there. Save that for the podcast between Charter. I want nothing to do with any of that conversation. But no, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for the direction of the program. Am I drinking the Kool-Aid? Absolutely. But I think it's Kool-Aid backed up with facts that we saw last year in getting guys healthy. With all this said, though, Iowa State still doesn't have the depth on the offensive line, even if they get Dawson and Khalil Rogers to come. And let's be honest, Dawson's committed here. We've seen Tyler Cantilena last year. These guys, it does not matter until they show up on campus because they're grad transfers. So commitment, signing, whatever, they can still go elsewhere until they show up on campus. So Iowa State staff's going to have to really continue to recruit Dave Dawson if anyone else comes around.
Tony Catalina just has you shook for life.
Tony? I mean, that one hurt. You know, I know Georgia fans were all pissed off about him and thought he sucked, but
thought he was the worst. They're like, this guy's the worst offensive lineman in the world.
Guys, he would have started for us, and I believe Manning would have had him playing better, and he would have been a better option for us than what we had.
Yeah.
And it would have, and as good as
Nick Fett
was,
he would have played a different position.
He would have played guard, where he would have probably been better off being, and I think Iowa State would have been a better position. So, I'm very hopeful. Now, one or two injuries in the offensive line, and we could be sitting back here again like we were last year thinking, oh, crap, what are we going to do to kind of fill these holes?
Mm-hmm.
But Manning showed he can do it. He did an adequate job.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what was the next thing on your list?
Well, let's see here. I mean, did we talk about all the commits? We got O.J. Tucker?
O.J. Tucker.
Six.
He went on a visit to Florida Atlantic over the weekend.
Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
I would really hope that this coaching staff can hold on to
him. I think that they'll be able to hold on to him, but I think that, I mean, I don't know. They'll have to keep battling for him, you know. But I think they'll be okay.
With Florida Atlantic?
Yeah. Lane Kiffin's a good coach.
What?
They're 50-50 on crystal balls on 247.
Okay. Wait, it's timeout for a second. You could say Lane Kiffin's got cachet. He's a personality. He's a good recruiter. What have you seen out of Lane Kiffin to show you he's a good coach? I'm going to pick on you for that comment. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, Iowa State should keep him. But you know what I like?
Well, I agree that they should keep him. That's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying that at all.
Yeah, but I mean – this is one thing, too, and we've hit on this a couple times before. I like what the staff is doing, and I don't know if there's a right or wrong. I prefer the guys with a little bit more length outside. How many times in the last 3 years, and I say 3 years just because that's kind of when you've been really covering Iowa State football, right?
Yeah.
Has Iowa State had a 3rd-and-15, 3rd-and-20, and the other team simply throws the ball up? Iowa State players in good position, but they get out-jumped. Maybe a part of it's position. It probably is, but part of it is just strictly size.
Yeah,
and they're giving up these big plays. I think this coaching staff is – I think they're a little bit more – they're bigger on length than what we saw the last coaching staff.
I agree with that. Think about the DBs that Iowa State had before. They're like 5'10".
Yeah.
Like Nigel and – I mean, even Brian Peavy, he's not very big either.
No, Brian Peavy's great, so I'm not – you know, I don't want to pick on him. Jeremy Reeves was great too. Jeremy Reeves was 5'8", you know. But – I looked this up the other day. I think you could only look at and say Iowa State recruited one cornerback during the Rhodes era that was over 5'10". And now everybody pretty much that these guys are recruiting are 5'10 and up. So
yeah.
I think it is something that they look at. Richard Bones, who's already on campus, is about 6 foot, 6'1". O.J. Tucker, 6'1". Datron Young, I think, is shorter. I think he's 5'10". So he's the shorter of the guys. And back when Rhodes was recruiting, he would have been one of the taller cornerbacks. 5'10 is plenty tall, in my opinion, for a cornerback.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, so that's interesting to see. And then, obviously,
Tucker Robertson.
What do you think about him?
I like him. I think he's a guy that in a couple of years might turn into something. 6'3", 270 already. It sounds like he's going to play on the inside of the defensive line. He's going to take a little bit of time, but I think by the time he's like a junior or a sophomore, redshirt sophomore, he's a guy that you could see fill in some pretty good time.
Yeah. No,
he's got a high motor. That's what I like about him. Seems like he's just a high energy, like high work ethic type guy, you know?
I agree. Nick Leaders kind of steps out to the kind of a comparison I look at. Seems like a smart kid too. I'm actually just pulled up his huddle. 4.4 GPA. Always love those kids on the team.
4.4 GPA?
Yeah. Did you know you could get over 4 point?
No, I didn't.
I didn't even know you could get over a 3 point.
What? Are you serious?
I'm making a joke. Come on. Keep up here. Keep up.
Maybe I didn't know you can't get over a 3 point.
My brother's famous for saying in college that D's equal degrees. Graduated in 4 years, and that was always a saying, D's equal degrees, buddy. Just pass the classes. He's very successful in life, that too. He really is. But, yeah, always funny. No, I think it's a good move. I mean, I like the fact we got two defensive ends in high school that I think they're both moving into inside, Tucker Robertson and Angel Dominguez. Mm-hmm. So you're getting kind of these guys that are quick twitch, but they got the body to fill them out, get them up closer to the 300 pounds to play in. I like that. And let's be honest, Iowa State has always struggled at the defensive line position, and they're getting bodies. I think that's one thing they recognize. Both offensive line and defensive line, they were hurting so much on depth, and it's killed Iowa State for years. When they'd kick a Rodney Coe or David Irving off a team, or if they got a Campos injured, they could not overcome it. They couldn't. They were done. It almost sank the entire season. They're building it now to where, knock on wood, hopefully you don't lose any of these guys, but if you do, it's not a season ender. You can rebound. You have other guys there. So they're oversigning these positions, which is great.
Well, even like a guy – you think about a guy like Cordarius Bailey, like – who has had quite a few other programs after him, and he's a pretty good player, you know, one that it's like, okay, somebody gets hurt. If he has to play, it's not like panic mode, you know? Like, you obviously don't want to play him early on in his career, but you're not going to end up where you're playing a walk-on or something like that on the defensive line, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading another text. I got a little...
You were giving me a weird look. I was like, is this take just awful right now? Like, what is he thinking?
No, it's not awful. I sent out a text to someone asking if I could get some statistics for some high school recruits.
Yeah.
And I just heard it back. So that's what I was.
Oh, there you go. All right. So let's turn the page then.
I don't have the.
Oh, okay.
We'll have them next week. So next week we will have some statistics of Iowa State's basketball recruits coming in. I was hoping we could have them this show, but, yeah, be next week.
There we go.
So yeah, go back to your take again.
No, I'm done. Was it the moment passed?
Was it a bad take?
No, I just didn't really know where I was going with it. But more of the story, I was just saying that with the way that they're signing this defensive line class, they're going to be in a position where they're not playing walk-ons on the defensive line if one person gets hurt or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just because they're going to have numbers there, which is something they haven't had in the recent years.
And if they are playing a walk-on, it's because the walk-on's damn good, not because they have to play them.
Right.
Yep. And you know what it does too, Jared, going forward in future recruiting classes, it allows them to be more selective because they don't need so many bodies to fill up.
It's not one of those things where it's like, well, okay, we just need defensive linemen. We need guys that play defensive line, you know?
And I don't know if Tucker Robertson's that guy or not. We're not trying to say that. But, they can be more selective. And it's one of the reasons why, too, Iowa State's brought in how many kids in the last couple of weeks for visits? And they might not necessarily be takes.
Yeah.
I can't remember that ever happening this late in the year. Usually Iowa State's bringing kids in. They're trying to fill a class. But this staff did such a good job early on in the recruiting process, getting commitments out of guys, kind of filling their class, knowing where they are, that now they can bring in kids and kind of get a feel whether or not they're going to be a take. Numbers, do numbers make? And they're a lot more selective. And I think you're going to see Iowa State's these recruiting classes be a lot better than we've seen in the past because of that.
Well, and it's crazy because, you know, you think about like last year, what the race towards signing day was like. Even some of the other programs that are around like right now, where it seems like there's just so much activity for them on the recruiting trail right now. And then you look at Iowa State and it's like, oh yeah, they've got like five guys that they would probably take right now.
Yeah.
Because they're so far ahead with their class, they're probably only going to sign 24. They've already got 21. It's just by pure numbers, there's not that much work left to be done in the 2017 class, you know?
So where do they stand right now in commitments? How many?
Isn't it 21?
I don't know. That's why you're the expert here, Jared.
Yeah, 21.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, and so I guess we can talk about one that we lost while I was gone too. Wasn't all sunshine when I was gone. Cam White decommitted.
Oh yeah, Cam White decommitted. Yeah.
Not really a huge surprise.
Not surprising at all.
We'd been worried about that for a while. Let's be honest here. Let's just call it what it is. Him and Caleb Chandler were the two biggest names of this recruiting class.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's without question. When both those guys committed, I would say that was as excited as Iowa State's been over any of these commitments. And we've got a lot of other guys that are, you know, good recruits. With that said, I think they've put themselves in a good position to where this is not as devastating as it could have been. Not to say that we don't want Cam White, didn't want Cam White, because it does sting.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation where it had just been brewing for so long. I think everybody's just kind of tired of it now. Like, I don't even think that I don't think there's any way he ends up back in Iowa State's class.
No, I don't either.
There's no way, but I would be very, very surprised if that was the case, if he did end up in the class.
Hope the kid finds a good fit.
Probably going to be Ole Miss.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
What do you think then?
I think he's a kid that, we'll see. It would not surprise me if Cam White had to go the JUCO route.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
If he went the JUCO route.
Yeah.
And then who knows? You know, as long as it doesn't end in a terrible situation. Iowa State's got a couple kids, and it very rarely happens where someone places a kid or they're recruiting him and then comes back. But as long as you never know. Kid could come back and play at Iowa State in a year or two.
There we go.
So one other thing we want to talk about here before
– you wanted to mention the ESPN 100, didn't you?
Yeah, before I switch over to that quick too. Anthony McKinney, the offensive tackle from Iowa Western.
Oh, yeah, picked up an offer from Oklahoma.
Yeah. So the staff's doing a good job, obviously, evaluating talent. He's a big boy, 6'8", 320 or so.
He'll probably be one of the top JUCO linemen in the 2018 class, I would imagine.
Oklahoma's got to know not to mess with these JUCO guys, though. You know, we get Bibbs, we get Matt Leo, and now Anthony McKinney. We're going to steal from him.
What the heck's Bob Stoops thinking?
Man, I feel like who was the stud that I love more than Caleb Chandler earlier in the year, and he ended up committing to – he's from Missouri, the big offensive lineman who committed to Oklahoma. I loved him.
Yeah. What is his name? I don't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about, though.
Oklahoma always seems to steal offensive linemen from us. Always does. I mean, let's be honest. Most of our lives, they have not been even competing with us for recruits. What I'm saying is Iowa State offered a kid. It seemed like Iowa State had a really good chance for him, and then Oklahoma would swoop him with an offer, and we would lose him.
Definitely. I'm looking it up right now.
It's going to bother you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's going to get it first?
It doesn't look – oh, Marquise Hayes.
Marquise Hayes, that's it.
Yep, there it is. Okay.
I love that kid. I thought he was the best offensive lineman that Iowa State was after all year.
Well, he probably was. He's four-star on the composite. He's in the number 257 prospect in the class now.
He wasn't when early on, though.
But, yeah.
Yep. Any news on Thayer Munford?
I think it's like almost done deal. He's going to Ohio State. I was reading something on Land of 10 yesterday, an Ohio State thing. It's pretty much done deal.
That's disappointing. We were both hopeful that we could get one of Caleb Chandler or Thayer Munford. Yeah. But
the door's still open with Jacob Bolton though. So
yeah,
and that'd be one more nice get. Finish out the class.
So let's do a quick prediction. Iowa State, you think three more spots are going to fill up?
Yeah, I think it'll be Keontae
Jones,
Jacob Bolton, and then Tariq Milton would be the three most likely to me.
Yeah. And then I still hold out that there's going to be a Khalil Rogers as a grad transfer. Yeah. I bet you there's someone else that we don't know about that's going to come in. I mean, it might be April or something we find out, but they're going to be
I still think they're going to be a player in the transfer defensive back area as well.
Yeah.
That's something that I'd heard back in December even.
That's what's fun about this staff as well is that it's never really – usually you got done with the recruiting period, and then Iowa State didn't hear anything for recruiting news till August, September.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're going to get commitments all year for these guys.
Yeah, the 2018 cycle starts on February 2nd. So
signing day is February 1st.
Yeah.
Our recruiting party is February 9th.
Yeah. I'll already be working on 2018
kids.
Yeah.
And they've been offering 2018 kids for the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, yeah. You wanted to talk about that. With your take on the Twitter offers.
Well, it's so funny, and anybody that follows any recruits out there sees Jared or me retweet an offer. Do you notice this, Jared? Maybe you don't as much.
It's always the same pictures.
First off, these guys are getting offered, and they're sending out pictures. They like to put Iowa State photos with the offer, and it's one with Coach Rhodes running out of the tunnel. I'm like, do these guys even know what coaches offered them? Or do they not care? Or is there a way for Iowa State to somehow like get these images off Google Images? Because these kids have got to be just going and Google imaging Iowa State, right?
Well, that's what I figure. It's just they search Google or Iowa State football, and then that's the first thing that pops up. We actually did this in the media room at a basketball game where it was just like, where do you think they get these pictures? And we did, you just search Iowa State football, and the ones that pop up at the top are always the ones that end up getting tweeted. Always.
Oh, man. That drives me crazy. There's one here. I'm going to pull up. Cardale Thomas, 2018 or 2019 kid, I think he said.
Uh-huh.
Committed to LSU, just got an Iowa State offer. He's got a moving GIF. Is that what you call it?
GIF.
Moving. See how old I am? I don't even know what the hell
it's okay.
Called.
It's very controversial.
It is controversial.
Whether or not it's GIF or GIF. Yeah.
So it's like, is it tomato, fruit, or vegetable? It's the same thing.
No, not the same. This is way more controversial. Oh.
This is hard-hitting stuff right here. So he's got one, the walking sigh, which is one of my favorite Iowa State logos. And then the other one is the hideous Iowa State logo that we had back when like Seneca Wallace was playing, where it's got the Iowa State with the S is kind of like underneath everything with the blue in the logo. It's hideous. And my thing is, man, Coach Lou, it looks like he's the one that offered, or Iowa State. When you offer this kid, send him some damn images. Send him some images of Iowa State, the I-State logo. I mean, if you want to throw the walking sign there, great. But how is this kid getting this logo that we haven't had for a decade or more?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're asking me.
That just drives me crazy, man. Drives me crazy.
Talk to him.
I find it very interesting, the images of these kids when they get offered, what images they are using.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. All right. We're already at 26 minutes, so.
Well, you ready to get to this?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
So, last.
Dude, my list makes me feel so stupid. I was reading it earlier.
We did this list, what would have been, July?
Yeah, something like that.
We did it right before, I think, fall football started. We did all the incoming freshmen, and we rated them.
Yeah.
We put it up on the board. It had other people kind of
ranked them. We ranked them, rated them.
I'm sorry. We ranked them as far as, you know, 1 to 27. And then right now we're giving us just a kind of going through it again to see how stupid we are. We won't really know how dumb we are until these guys get done playing, though.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun to go back and look at. So right now, my number one was Jaquan Bailey, which I feel pretty good about.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. He was my number two. I had Chase Allen number one.
Okay.
Which I think if he doesn't get hit by a car and he doesn't get sick,
yeah,
he would still have made a good enough contribution to put himself into that conversation.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Chase Allen number one.
No.
No. And yeah, like I said, he's going to be a four-year starter for Iowa State.
Yeah.
Unless he leaves early or something. You know what I mean? He's going to be a starter. My number two is Sean Foster, who looks like he's going to be a starting left or right tackle next year. So still a lot of time left for him. Feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah.
Who's your number one, by the way?
Chase Allen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's your number two?
Bailey.
Bailey.
Jaquan Bailey. Okay. And then I had DeAndre Payne, number three.
Solid.
Tymar Sutton was my number four.
Okay. So we'll see. He probably would have played last year if he had not broke his hand.
Yeah. And then I had Sean Foster.
Okay.
At five.
So five. Okay. So I had Chase Allen three. I had DeAndre Payne four. So we're not too far off. Here's my wild card. I might end up looking stupid. I had Dylan Sonar five. And right now, it looks like he's going to be the backup tight end. I still say if they move him to tackle, I think that's where the value comes in for him, five. If they don't, I highly overrated Dylan Sonar.
Isn't it Saner?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think it's Saner.
Dylan Saner. Dude, yeah. I walked up next to that kid before a game. He was out with the parents eating. That is a massive human being.
Yeah.
He is a big boy. And maybe he doesn't have the mentality. Maybe he just doesn't want to. I don't know. But to me, you put 30 pounds on that kid, and that is a stud tackle.
I've got Jake. I had Jacob Park at six.
That's looking good. See, I remember when we did this, I forgot to put Jacob Park in.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't looking at the transfers. I was just looking at the commits.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Kenne Nwangwu was seven. Deshante Jones at eight.
God.
I know you had Kenne way down like in the 20s.
So stop saying. I don't believe you for a second. I think you're cheating here.
What? No, I'm dead serious. That's what I have listed.
It says edited yesterday. You edited that yesterday. Okay, so I had Tymar Sutton, six. I had David Montgomery, seven. Looking good there. This is one that's not looking good so far. Justin Stewart, 8th. This was fresh off when he just committed,
yeah.
And I looked at his tape, and I thought, man, this kid's exactly what we need. He's a speed rusher off the edge. He still could be that guy. Have you heard anything on Justin Stewart? I haven't heard much of anything.
I'd actually – last I'd heard about it was somebody, another media member, told me that he was leaving.
Well, good call there, Gray. I had Deshante Jones, 9th.
But I haven't heard that confirmed, so that's that is just
okay.
A rumor,
sure.
At this point.
Yeah. Jones, 9th, which honestly, that's probably too low. I mean, he was
– Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as good as
Oh, yeah, I had him at 8, and I felt like that was probably too low.
Probably too low. And then Jamal Johnson, 10th, which I think is probably pretty – I mean, he played as a freshman. He's going to get better. But you're right. I had Kenne Nwangwu, 24th.
Yeah. I saw your list earlier. I was like, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. And the reason was, is I thought Mike Warren's going to be here for 3 more years, and then Dave Montgomery's the guy.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything bad about Kenne himself. I just didn't think he'd have the opportunity, and he obviously got it. And, shoot, he might have even passed Mike Warren. I still think Mike Warren's got more in him than what we saw. But, yeah.
I had Jalen Martin at 9. Which I still think he's going to be somebody that plays. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays this next season for Kev? Iowa State.
Nope.
Carson Green, that one was a miss.
Well, yeah, and I had Carson Green 17th, so I had him a little lower, but I think we could both – injuries, right? He just retired because of injuries. So we're not killing him here, but I think you can put him dead last in the list. For now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Then I had Dylan Sainer. Zeb would have been at – 12, and then I had David Montgomery at 13.
Okay. So you had Kenne higher than David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Okay. You feel good about that, or would you switch that now?
No, I would have them like
flipped.
Right, I would have them like right together, probably.
Really? You think that high of Kenne going forward?
Yeah.
You do.
I think he's going to be a game breaker in more than just one area.
I love Kenne. I'm asking
he's,
you.
I see in 2 years him playing in the slot and having David on the field like as a running back. And he's just like your slot guy. You can hand it to him on some jet sweeps and stuff like that too. And then,
they did it a couple times this year.
Yeah, and he's just like your. Anytime he touches the football, he could be gone. Scary guy, you know.
He's fast. There's no question about that.
Like think of how the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying he's as good as Tyreek Hill, but how they use him, like as their punt returner, their kick returner, just the guy that they know that anytime he touches the football, it's susceptible to being a touchdown.
He doesn't have the change of direction quickness.
No.
You know.
But flat, straight line speed
man,
yeah.
The dude smokes.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill might
And that's when he's only a freshman,
yeah.
You know.
Tyreek Hill might be the fastest person I've ever seen with a football in his hands.
Faster than Devin Hester?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I was watching Devin Hester Miami highlights on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so fast.
He made people look like they were standing still.
No, I know. I mean –
Tyreek Hill needs – so you're saying Tyreek Hill needs to get a 99 speed – or not 99, 100 speed rating on Madden?
Absolutely.
That's what Devin Hester had. He's the only guy ever to have a 100 speed rating on Madden.
How could you not have Tyreek Hill as 100 speed? That dude is so fast.
Yeah.
Maybe he looks –
dude, it's crazy too because if he wasn't a football player, he'd probably be like one of the best track runners in the world.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right, back to the list here. I had Thad Daniels, number 11. He saw some playing time last year. More of a position in need while I had there. Me and you both agreed. Zeb Nolan, 12th. Everything we've heard, they love Zeb.
Yeah.
Now, Park's got, what, 2 more years after this year? Junior, senior? So, and I don't think Park's going to leave that spot at all. So, it looks like Zeb will be a redshirt freshman, be a 2-year starter, would be my guess. So, but still.
And then Devin Moore. However, he'll figure in there too.
Devin Moore would at that point only be a 1-year starter.
Yeah,
you think about it.
But
you know, you never know. He
realistically,
could be about,
how long do you want? How long do you want a quarterback to start? You know, like what is like the optimal? If you're like a good program, how long does your quarterback start?
Three
years max, usually 3.
Well, I think 3 years is great if you can get a guy for 3 years. 2 years is fine. You don't want a 1-year starter.
If you're Alabama and.
Alabama's usually, irrelevant, though, because it doesn't matter who you put at quarterback
true,
because they're
true.
So damn good.
Hmm.
Everywhere else, their line, D-line, I mean.
Trying to think. So, like, even, like, when USC was really good those years, those guys weren't starting very many years.
Matt Leinart started for, like, 3 years.
How long did Carson Palmer start?
3 years.
So, 3 years?
Maybe
is that,
4.
Would you say 3 years is, like, the optimal number?
I think 3 years. Like, redshirt, 1 year.
Because I feel like if you start your freshman year, you just are too – it's too likely that you're going to make a lot – like, you make mistakes that might, like, kill your confidence, you know?
Well, a lot of it depends on, too, how good of the talent is around you. If you have a good offensive line as a freshman, you know, and you're not getting smoked. But, yeah.
Like Jalen Hurts, like he's he obviously had a bit of an advantage because his whole team is just stupid.
Yeah, they didn't have to put a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I don't know. I think 2 to 3 years is ideal. I think 4 years, they're too young. 1 year only, you got to have a little bit of that time to maybe just make some mistakes. And I don't know. I don't know. The Devin Moore, Zeb Nolan is going to be very interesting to watch because I'll be shocked.
Especially if they keep getting quarterbacks. I mean, if they get another good quarterback, yeah.
You need a quarterback in every class, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Because as good as I think Jacob Park is, I can't speak for you.
I think he's really good.
I think he's just going to continue to get better. One injury away from all of a sudden Zeb being the guy. Or,
yeah.
I mean, landing this year, obviously, but I'm talking going forward. So, I think you have to have a quarterback recruit in every single class.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I have Josh Bailey, number 13. One of those guys probably won't know how he stands for another 2 years, would be my guess. And then I can't even pronounce his name. Ioma Uwazurike.
Ioma Uwazurike.
I was so terrible on that. It's embarrassing that I even tried.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Ioma Uwazurike.
Uwazurike. Everything we hear about him, he's really good.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a stud.
So, you know, 2 years down the road, that might be one that we're bumping up a little bit too.
I didn't even have him listed, but I'd kind of forgotten about him because he didn't get on campus at the time.
And number 15, I put up here higher just because I thought he would play because we had nobody else. Cliff Fernandez, I don't think he's even in the program anymore.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, so him and Carson Green or...
I had Lawrence White at 14, Oge at 15.
Is Oge going to play next year? He came in late.
I think he could get in the mix. He redshirted, I think, so.
Yeah. And let's be honest, a lot of it depends on Khalil Rogers and David Dawson. They show up here. I think those are the two.
I don't think he's going to be a starter or anything. But he's a guy that could, if somebody gets hurt, he could see some time. You know?
It was just surprising. And I know he came in late. But when Iowa State started seeing some injuries and had to shift some things around, and all of a sudden Brian Shada was playing.
I think they got into a position where it was like, let's just redshirt him. Because he showed up so late.
He did.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
What number was Oge for you?
15.
15, okay.
Because I only did 20. Then I had Jamal Johnson, Josh Bailey, Arnold Azuna, Thad Daniels, and Josh Mueller, which I think that I would probably move up. I would move up Jamal Johnson and Arnold Azuna probably now too.
Yeah, man. Because really
Azuna,
like
Azuna might see the field this next year.
Azuna right now, as we stand today, with no one else coming in, is probably starting opposite of Peavy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're looking at. Okay, so I had Jalen Martin, 16. I had Carson Green cross off 17. Oge at 18. Josh Mueller at 19. And Campbell's made a point of talking about Josh Mueller a couple times. So I think he's going to be one that can develop. Won't know about him for another year. I don't expect him to play a whole lot next year, or I hope not, at least. Then I had Lawrence White, Jatarius Grant, Arnold Azuna, Carson Linton, Ken A. Keenan Forbes, who I think they like as well, and Romeo Webster. So, I mean, obviously the three guys that I would move up on that list, I'd move Arnold Azuna up quite a bit, Ken A up, and then I'd move Keenan Forbes up as well.
David and Arnold Azuna are my two that are so low that I'm like, I should have those guys way higher.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though.
I can't believe you missed. Dude, it's so funny that you missed so bad on Ken A, though.
You know, like, I'll take it. My reasoning was sound, though.
Why?
Because he was going to be the third guy.
Okay.
Mike Warren was only a sophomore last year.
But he still returned kicks, and that might have been where – I mean, he was all Big 12 kick returner.
At the time we did that, I didn't know he was going to be returning kicks. You got to understand the
time. You should have assumed, dude. He's like the fastest guy on the team. We knew that at that time.
Well, I knew he was the fastest guy on the team. I didn't know that he was returning kicks and not redshirting. I think after we did this, we found out he wasn't redshirting like 3 weeks later. So – yeah, you know what, though? I missed, all right? Guys, people listening to this podcast, kill me for it, okay? Jared, go ahead.
Yeah, do it. Please kill him for it.
You know what? I thought besides that, my list was okay.
Yeah. I feel like after going through the lists, I don't feel too bad about it. I think we did pretty well.
We did okay. Yeah, and like I said,
we're going to make this an annual thing.
It's going to change again next year when we go back and look. But,
yeah. So, see, that's what we can do is that now we'll rank the 2017 one, and then every year we'll have one podcast where we just go through all of our rankings for the guys that are, like, on the team.
Yeah.
See how they've changed.
So, next year we'll spend a whole list in the 2016 again, and then the next week we'll go back in the 2017 class.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I think they got a lot. I mean –
obviously, you're excited. Do you think the best offense in school history is coming back?
I do. I feel very confident. I don't even think that's a crazy. I don't even think that's a bold prediction either.
That's fine.
And I'm looking here, and sure, we got Cliff Hernandez and Carson Green have left. But out of the 27 guys they brought in, they only have two gone, and it doesn't look like any of these other guys are going to leave. That is surprising for Iowa State because it seems like they lose five guys almost right away, whether they didn't come in for academics or whatever, or they leave early. So hopefully what we see is all this attrition that Iowa State's lost guys before in the past. Hopefully we don't see as much of that because we've hit on it. Depth's been such a key issue for Iowa State football.
There we go. Thanks again to our sponsor, Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com. Hey, don't forget about the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on Thursday night from 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO out there at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Are you going to be there this week, Adam? We're going to have buffalo chicken, right?
No, but don't we always?
Yeah, so you're going to come out and have some buffalo chicken?
Oh, Thursday night. I feel like I have something going on Thursday night.
Yeah, the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. You're going to play some Golden Tee, drink some beers. We're going to watch some basketball. It's going to be a great time.
You guys don't put me on the radio there. So I don't like to sit there and listen
to you. You can on Thursday. Bloom won't be there.
Oh, okay. I might be there then. Someone needs to be there with some actual realistic takes and not the homer takes that we get out of Bloom.
Did you hear the show when Cyclone Jerry called in?
No, I didn't.
It was outstanding.
What'd he say?
He said that him and Bloom think the same way.
Because you know what, though? There's nothing wrong with homers. We need more of them.
And on that, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and have a great rest of your week.